So we continue our journey into this sermon series, Stories That Matter. If I might, I am hanging a title on the sermon entitled, Knowing That Voice. Knowing That Voice. Beloved, we live in this world where the volume never turns down. Everywhere we turn, there are voices calling for our attention on our phones, voices in our feeds, voices in the politics, voices in our fears, voices in our past, voices in our pain, voices telling us who we should be, what we should want, how we should live, and what we should fear. Into all this noise, all of this, Jesus steps toward, steps forward in John chapter 10 and says something so tender, so particular, so piercing that it cuts through 21 centuries of static. My sheep hear my voice. If you were here last week, you might remember we walked the Emmaus Road, two disciples, grief-stricken, confused, walking away from Jerusalem. And Jesus comes alongside them. They didn't recognize him, not until the breaking of bread, not until the familiar gestures of cracking open their eyes. That was a story about revelation, about God showing up in the places we least expect. But this week, Jesus goes further. He doesn't just show up, he speaks. And he says, you can learn to know my voice. This is the story about discernment, not about this solo project, not some private spiritual achievement, but a shared practice, a communal discipline, a way of life we can learn together in the flock. I need you to hear this. The problem of noise is not new. The struggle to discern God's voice from competing voices is as old as Scripture itself. Go back to Genesis. There was another voice in the garden, a voice reasonable, even spiritual, but it led to a fracture and an exile. Let's go to 1 Kings 19 and Elijah on the mountain, overwhelmed, depleted, expecting God in the earthquake and the fire. But God came in a still, soft voice, a whisper. We can go to Matthew 4, where the devil quotes scripture to Jesus in the wilderness, twisting holy words into an unholy temptation. Even the word of God can be weaponized by a wrong voice. Hear me, beloved. Hearing is not the same as heeding. Revelation is not the same as recognition. God is always speaking, but we are not always listening. John Wesley understood it. He taught that sanctification is the Spirit's work of tuning our hearts like an instrument slowly, patiently, persistently, bringing us into harmony with the shepherd's voice, not all at once, not perfectly, but faithfully. The more we listen, the more we recognize, the more we follow, and the clearer the voice becomes. But let me tell you, what makes this so urgent right now in this year of the Lord 2026 is we have supercomputers in our pockets. We have a curated identity on every platform. Outrage is monetized. Fear sells better than truth. We overstimulate and are spiritually exhausted. We scroll through 100 voices before breakfast and wonder why we can't hear God by lunch. There's a distinction. Jesus draws listening carefully. Jesus doesn't say, my sheep hear a voice. He says, my sheep hear my voice. Not the loudest voice, not the most popular voice, not the most profitable voice, not the voice with the biggest platform or the smartest algorithm. My voice, the voice of the one who laid down his life for the sheep. There's spiritual truth that holds us all together. Sheep don't learn the shepherd's voice in isolation. They learn it in the flock. They learn it side by side, day by day, following together, stumbling together, being corrected together, being fed together. Discerning is not a private gift, it's a communal grace. And if you feel overwhelmed by the noise, you are not crazy. If you feel confused by competing voices, you are not weak. If you feel like you can barely hear God some days, you're not alone. The shepherd is still speaking, and together we can learn to hear him. Church, would you say this with me? Speak, Lord, for we are listening. Beloved, hearing the voice is only the beginning, because the shepherd doesn't just speak, the shepherd leads. Following the shepherd is to enter in a holy rhythm, an ancient cadence of becoming in, coming in and going out, of gathering and scattering, of being filled and being poured. To hear the voice is a gift. To follow the voice is a discipleship in motion. So we look at verse 9, whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. Church, this verse is really a whole theology of the Christian life. It's a movement language. It's formation language. It is discipleship in motion. Let me paint a picture, if you will. In the first century, a sheepfold was walled enclosed by stone, open sky, narrow opening, and there really wasn't a wooden gate or an iron lock. The shepherd himself was the gate, and at night, the shepherd would lay down across the opening with his own body so that nothing could get to the sheep without going through him first. And every sheep that entered over the shepherd. Every sheep that left past the shepherd. So when Jesus says, I am the gate, he is not using a metaphor about a door or lock. He is saying, I am your safety. I am your covering. I am your boundary. I am your way in and your way out. He's echoing the cry of Ezekiel 34 when God looked at Israel's corrupt leaders, shepherds who fed themselves and scattered the flock, and said, enough, I myself will be the shepherd for my people. This is rhythm. This is coming in and out. It runs like a golden thread through the scripture. Deuteronomy 28:6 says, blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed be we when you go out. Psalms 121:8 says, the Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in and from this time forth. Acts 2:4, the early church gathered for prayer, teaching them. Then they would go out into the streets in power. See, beloved, do you see the rhythm, the heartbeat of faith? You have rest, then work, worship, then witness, receiving, then giving, reflecting, then action, formation, and then mission. Abundant life is not static. It's not a spiritual cul-de-sac where we park and stay forever. It's a rhythm, a holy circulation of grace. To come in is salvation. To go out is vocation. To find pasture is nourishing, and you will need all three. You will need all three. I say this with pastoral tenderness. Many of us are stuck in one direction. Some of us are always going out, overcommitting, overextending, running from one meeting to another. Oh, sorry, that was for me. Saying yes to every need, pouring out until there's nothing left to pour. We are We are spiritually dehydrated. We are serving from an empty well. Some of us are always coming in, you know, to prayer meetings, Bible studies, prayer groups, always consuming sermons and podcasts and devotionals, but never stepping out into the world to live it. We're in a spiritual stagnation. We know the word, but we are not doing the word. So let me ask you this. What does coming in and going out look like on Monday morning? It looks like starting the day in prayer and then going out to work with purpose. It looks like gathering in worship on Sunday and then carrying the worship into hospitals and offices and neighborhoods. It looks like studying scripture in community, then applying it in the place where justice is needed. If you feel pulled to too many directions, hear the shepherd's voice. Come in, rest, and be restored. If you feel dry, academic, or disconnected, hear the shepherd's voice. Go out in the world. Step into the world and let your faith have feet. The gate is not a wall. The gate is a way. The shepherd is not calling you. The shepherd is calling you through in both directions. Church, would you say this? Lead us, Lord. Amen. Beloved, every rhythm has a disruption. Every journey has a threat. And Jesus is being honest enough to love enough to name it, because the shepherd who leads us is out, does not pretend that the road is not free, is free of danger. Then verse 10, the first half says this: the thieves come only to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus doesn't sugarcoat anything. He doesn't sugarcoat the spiritual landscape. He doesn't pretend every voice is safe. He doesn't act like every influence is neutral. He names the enemy plainly. There's a thief, and the thief has an agenda. In the ancient world, thieves in sheep's folds would be cunning. They didn't walk through the gate. They climbed over the wall, disguising themselves. They mimicked the shepherd's call, trying to lure away with false promises of greener pastures. Jesus' audience knew this reality. They're under Roman occupation, surrounded by propaganda, corruption, false messiahs, and promise of liberation and delivering destruction. I don't know, sounds like we're living in that time. I'm sorry, I'm thinking out loud now. The Bible is relentless in naming the voices of the thief. Genesis 3, the serpent distorted identity. Did God really say that? Jeremiah 23, false prophets cried, peace, peace, and there was no peace. Hear me, not every voice that sounds spiritual is holy. Not every voice that sounds confident is trustworthy. Not every voice that sounds comforting is safe. The thief's voice does three things. It does three things. First, it steals. It steals your joy. It steals your peace. It steals your identity. It steals the sense of belovedness. Second, it kills. It kills your hope. It kills your purpose. It kills your courage, your willingness to try again. Thirdly, it destroys. It destroys your relationship, your community, your trust, your ability to believe that God is still good. But the shepherd's voice does the opposite. It restores the stolen. It resurrections what was killed. It rebuilds what was destroyed. Now, church, let us bring this into this very moment in 26. The thief is more tools than ever. Algorithms shape our desire without our consent. Influencers shape our value without accountability. Political rhetoric shapes our fears without nuance. Trauma shapes our self-perception without our awareness. And capitalism shapes our worth by what we produce and consume. Social media shapes our identity by likes and follows, and misinformation shapes our worldview one headline at a time. Jesus said, "My sheep, run from these voices, not walk, not negotiate, not entertain, not scroll past and come back later. Run, run, run." What does running look like? It looks like turning off the feed that makes you feel worthless. It looks like walking away from a relationship that diminishes your spirit. It looks like refusing the theology that says God loves you less because who you are. It looks like rejecting the narrative that our past disqualifies us from God's future. If a voice tells you're unworthy, you run because it's a thief. If the voice tells you God is done with you, you run because that's a thief. If a voice tells you your story disqualifies you from God's grace, then you need to run because that's a thief. If a voice divides you from community and isolates you from the flock, tells you that you don't need church, you run, that's a thief. The shepherd's voice never leads you in fear. The shepherd's voice leads you to life. Church, say this with me. We will run from the thief. We will run from the thief. Say this with me. We will follow the shepherd.
We will follow the shepherd.
Amen and amen. Verse 10 then has this other half. The abundant life is a voice away. The second half says this: I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Church, this is one of the most misquoted, misunderstood, misused verses in all of Scripture. It has been slapped on bumper stickers and prosperity brochures. It has been twisted into a theology of accumulation, as though Jesus came so we have bigger houses, better cars, and fatter portfolios. That's not what it is. See, Jesus is not talking about abundance of possessions. He's talking about abundance as alignment, a life aligned with the shepherd's voice, a life rooted in belovedness, a life shaped by purpose, a life grounded in community, a life animated by the Spirit. Go back to the sheepfold. When the shepherd leads the sheep to the pasture, he was leading them to survival, to nourishment, and to safety, to flourish. In a world where Rome stole land from the poor, where religious leaders stole dignity from the outcast, where poverty stole hope from the masses, to speak of abundant pasture was radical. It was a kingdom. It was a kingdom word, not an empire abundance, a kingdom abundance, the kind of abundance where no one lacks because everyone shares, the kind of abundance where worth is not measured by wealth, but by belovedness. Once again, Scripture is saturated with this promise. 25th Psalm, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Isaiah 55, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. John 4, living waters that well up in eternal life. Ephesians 3, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than what we ask or think. Abundance is not having more. Abundance is about becoming more. More whole, more free, more grounded, more joyful, more courageous, more Christ-like. Abundant life is kingdom life. It's shalom. It's wholeness in everything. It touches everything that demonstrates the existence of agape, of love. It is koinonia, the shared life where flourishing and mine are bound with togetherness. It is matonia, the transformated mind that sees through resurrected eyes. It is anuma, which is spirit-filled purpose that brings meaning to every Monday morning, and an abundant life that is not measured in possessions. but in presence. What does it look like on Monday morning? It looks like waking up with a purpose instead of dread. It looks like having enough peace to be present with people in front of you. It looks like doing work that matters even when no one applauds. It looks like forgiving someone who doesn't deserve it because the shepherd forgave you. It looks like generosity that doesn't calculate, compassion that doesn't keep score, and hope that doesn't quit. You see, abundant life is not something you earn. It's something you hear. It begins with listening. It grows with following. It deepens with trusting. It expands with hope. Abundant life is a voice away. If you feel empty, Jesus is calling you to abundance. If you feel lost, Jesus is calling you to the pasture. If you feel broken, Jesus is calling you to wholeness. If you are forgotten, Jesus is calling you by name. Because the thief steals, but the shepherd restores. The thief kills, but the shepherd resurrects. The thief destroys, but the shepherd rebuilds. Say this with me, church. Lead us to life. Lead us to life. And Lord, my beloved, as we come to the close of this word, I want you to hear one more thing, maybe the most important thing. I need you to be still for just another moment. If you can stay awake just another moment, let the noise fall away. Let the competing voices go quiet. After all the noise, after all the competing voices, after all the confusion, the chaos of our age, Jesus sends this teaching with a simple, searching truth. The shepherd is still speaking. Not was speaking, not used to speak, not spoke back in biblical days and then went silent. The shepherd is still speaking. The voice that spoke in Genesis 1 and created chaos, called creation out of chaos. The voice the voice burned in a bush and called Moses to liberation. The voice became as still as small sound and whispered courage to an exhausted Elijah. The voice thundered from heaven at the Jordan, "This is my beloved son." The voice blazed on Damascus Road and turned a persecutor into an apostle. That voice echoed in the island of Patmos and gave John a vision of a new heaven and a new earth. That voice created, calls, convicts, converts, and commissions is a voice speaking to you. Right now, right here, in this moment, because God is speaking, God is revealing a relationship with God, a God who does not hide behind the silence, but presses into what is holy persistence, or presses forth what is into a particular love. A God who calls us by name, not by category, not by demographic, not by diagnosis, not by mistake, called by name. The shepherd's voice in the ancient world was not background noise. It was life. It was direction. It was identity. It was safety. It was a belonging. The sheep didn't just recognize the voice. They staked their lives on it. They staked their lives on it. And in 26, church, hear this. We are drowning in information, but starving for wisdom. We are surrounded by noise, but longing for truth. We are connected to everything, but anchored to nothing. The shepherd is speaking, and hearing the voice changes everything. Choose peace over panic. Choose truth over noise. Choose community over isolation. Choose compassion over cynicism. Choose justice over convenience. Choose a purpose over pressure. Choose hope over despair. You hear it in the scriptures when the words leap off pages and grabs you by the heart. You hear it in prayers when the silence becomes more eloquent than the words. You hear it in worship when the song carries you somewhere your mind alone could have never gone. You hear it in community when a sister or brother speaks exactly what your soul needs. You hear it in the cries of the hurting when compassion raises you into like a tide. You hear it in the tug on the spiritual that would not let you rest until you responded. You hear it in the places where your life, where you feel most alive. The shepherd is speaking. The question is, are you listening? If you feel lost, the shepherd is calling your name. If you feel overwhelmed, the shepherd is calling to you rest. If you feel purposeless, the shepherd is calling you to his pasture. If you feel alone, the shepherd is calling you to the flock. If you're afraid, the shepherd is calling you into courage. If you're broken, the shepherd is calling you into wholeness. Because the thief steals, the shepherd restores. The thief kills, but the shepherd resurrects. The sheep, the thief kills, destroys, but the shepherd rebuilds. The shepherd is speaking. The shepherd is speaking, beloved. He is speaking since the foundation of the world and will not stop. Not for the noise, not for the chaos, not for the empire, not for the thief. The shepherd is speaking, and his sheep knows his voice. Say this with me, church. We hear you, Lord. We hear you, Lord. We follow your voice. We follow your voice. Lead us to life.
Lead us to life.
And say amen. And amen.